The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything.
All right, Farrell on the bench. So Cole has a 9-year deal. And, you know, I was just talking to Carver High about it. The guy, the people, they'll ask him questions about the pressure and everything of playing for the Yankees. And he says, I'm used to it. I've pitched in a lot of big games. World Series and everything else. And he goes, they pay me a ton of money, so I have to live up to it. And I just love that he's like, yeah, they're paying me just a ton of cheddar, and I got to go out and perform at the highest level and win every time the game's big. I got to win. That's it. I'm out here to win big games, and they pay me to do that. And then this guy's going to be pitching for the Yankees for literally, you know, you're looking at, it's a 9-year deal. He can get out after 5. So if they, I just said to Carver High, if they get 4 or 5 years out of this guy, if they get 4 or 5, let's say, cause I mean, this guy throws so hard. He throws 97, 98 miles an hour. If he can, like, there's no way I believe 4 years from now or 5 years from now, he's still throwing 98 miles an hour. So, but I do, if his arm doesn't fall off, do you think they'll get 4 good years out of him? And then what do you think will happen to him? Do you think he'll leave after 5, or do you think he'll stay with the Yankees and become like Sabathia was, where he actually transformed himself into a kind of an off-speed pitcher?
And that's what you're going to want to see from him in the back end of that deal, because 9 years is obviously a very long time. He's 29 years old right now. So really, you could get 5 more high-level deal, you know, years out of him. Let's be fair. When these guys all sign this, it could be a hitter or a pitcher, Scotty. When they sign these 9- and 10-year deals, you know that most likely you're going to take a bath on the last at minimum 2 to 3 years of them. You just know that you're going to. So if you can get 5+ years out of them, and then, like you said, he does like a CC and kind of transforms himself, when he gets into the 35, 36-year-old range, you can get a little more, that would be great.
Wow. It's so funny seeing him all clean shaven and everything. I remember when he was pitching with the Pirates and Astros, he looked like Grizzly Adams.
Hey, everyone. It's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you, because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life. So I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so the night games tomorrow on Wednesday night are going to be the Yankees-Indians at 7. Then when I'm on the bench at 10 East is the Brewers-Dodgers, so they do have a late-night game. The day games start at noon tomorrow. It's like the NCAA tournament. So at noon, you got Reds-Braves, and then you've got the – that's the first one. And then at 1, it's Astros-Twins. These are all East Coast. 2 o'clock is Marlins Cubs. 3 o'clock is White Sox A's. 4 o'clock is Blue Jays Rays. And 5 o'clock is Cardinals Padres. I got to tell you. Now, I understand that there's 8 games, so that's the problem, right? Fair enough. But even today, they had 3 games going on at once, Carver High. 3 games at once. And that's just not good for the palate. I don't care what you say. Right. Tomorrow, how do you get invested in a game when there's 6 games all an hour apart?
Right.
There, you know, 12, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and that's it. So 12, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in a row. How do you get invested in one of those games? Besides, like, you know, if you're watching the NCAA tournament, they got, like, TBS – TNT, or what do they have the games on? TBS.
TBS, TNT, True, and CBS. They have 4 channels usually.
Okay, yeah. You're flipping around to 4 channels. Now you're going to be flipping around to 6 channels trying to watch a baseball game. How do you get invested in a baseball game when there's 6 of them going on at once?
Look, they're doing something, obviously, for the first time ever. They've never had this many playoff games to be played at once. They're used to the division round where they have, you know, 2 on each side, and they've expanded now here. So they don't want to jumble it up in prime time because they want to give you the Yankees and the Dodgers standalone at night. What they could do is, you know, it would be nice if, like, MLB Network was able to go in and out of all the games. Like, wouldn't that be pretty cool? Like, if they did, like, kind of, since they're all these games are at the same time, they should have on their network, like, kind of bounced around all of them, almost like a red zone type of deal, you know, like, you go from game to game. And that way you can focus on everything. Whereas, like you said, now you got to bounce around from channel to channel. And not only that, they have the announcers, Scotty, ESPN, like, there's announcers doing 2 games. Like, A-Rod and Vasgersian, they're doing the Brave Red game at noon, and then they're doing the Yankee game at 7. Because they're all doing it from Bristol. Nobody's on site for ESPN. So they've got even announcers, they're doubling up. They're calling 2 games.
Long I don't really care. I don't really care who the announcer is.
Right.
I really don't.
But I don't. How else can they do it? You've got 8 games to play tomorrow in one day. You can't spread it out to where every game is standalone. There's going to be games overlapping each other. There's just nothing you can do about it.
How many times do you think ESPN will show the Twins scoring their 1 run today on the slide home? I mean, how many times are you going to show them scoring a run? What you should really be doing is showing how they can't score any runs and that they haven't won a playoff game since before Christ. I mean, honestly, like, they have showed that first run they scored with a guy slid over home plate. They have, on Cruz's double, they have shown that today. Since 6 o'clock, probably, I've seen it 50 times, but they didn't win the game. And now they're showing Romo getting in trouble, and then they're going to show Romo walking in the winning run. That's what they should have shown the whole time. No one cares. What do you care about seeing 1 run score when they didn't win the game? I don't.
What they really
show me the Indians 3 runs?
Yeah, what they really should show is they should show the Twins in the first inning have the bases loaded and one out, and the guy, you know, strike out and then Sano grounding out to third. They should show that, or they should show when they had second and third in the fourth inning. They should show all the Twins missing out on probably building a 3-4-5-run lead in that game and knocking Greinke out, because that's where the game was lost. Forget the Romo stuff. It was lost when the Twins couldn't score runs.
Did you think that Romo's pitch on the full count was a strike, or did you think it was high?
I thought it was a little high.
Well, there you go. So there's no argument. Romo argued with him, rocking the Hezbollah beard. He gave him the business, the ump. But it doesn't matter if you give him the business at that point. You just lost the game. You knew that was the last game. That was the run that won the game. It was over. I knew when they scored that second run, it was over. The game was over. And there you go. So there's nothing else to say about that game. We talked about Giolito. Well, we did not talk about Blake Snell. He also had a no-hitter going through the fifth inning. I mean, the guy was lights out, right? So you have to admit, tonight, you never thought you'd see two guys like Giolito. What, did he go into the eighth inning with that thing, or was he in the seventh inning?
He lost it in the seventh, I believe, because he only pitched seven. Yeah, he lost it in the seventh inning. They took him out in the eighth when he gave up a couple of other hits. Right. Snell got into the sixth inning with his. Snell pitched really well. The Jays could not do anything against him. The Jays, you know, they had their strategy where they held off their best starter till tomorrow. They're going to pitch Ryu tomorrow. Shoemaker actually pitched great for three innings. Then they brought Robbie Ray in, who honestly didn't pitch awful. He gave up the one run that gave him the lead, a triple and then a passed ball. But the Jays just, they're supposed to be an offensive team, Scotty, and they couldn't score any runs. They got no hits off of Snell while he was in the game. They couldn't touch any of the relievers. Tomorrow, if they're going to win, you know, they need their guys. They need Guerrero. They need Biggio. They need all these guys to hit tomorrow. That's the only way they're going to win.
So, but like you said earlier, you think with Ryu that they have a shot, but I don't see it. I think they have a better shot
than the Twins or the Indians tomorrow. I just think that they do. I think if there was a team out of those four to advance and force a third game, I think the A's would be my top choice to doing that with the Jays right behind them. Those are the two teams out of the four that I think can force that third game on Thursday.
So with the White Sox lineup and Abreu hitting home runs, how do you, like, I don't see that stopping either. Like, I mean, at some point you have to just respect what you're seeing, these lineups shredding the ball, like the White Sox and the Yankees, and you have to say to yourself, why am I going to bet against them? Now, I think the A's have always been a team, I'll give you this, they have always been a team that has their rally going and their comebacks and their crazy fans and everything else. But they don't have any of that going, the drums beating and all that. But I know that they have had miraculous comebacks and wins when their backs were to the wall. So I would say they have a shot, but not with what I saw the White Sox bats do. I mean, every guy on the team did something. Even the guy, one of them hit a home run, hasn't hit a home run the whole season.
Yeah, and they didn't even have Jimenez today, who did not play. Eloy Jimenez wasn't in the lineup for them, which is one of their big hitters too. So I think the White Sox are going to win one of these next two games, and they're going to move on. I think the teams that won today, obviously, I mean, it's common sense, they're in the best shape, but I could see one or two of them. I mean, I guess what's the one closest? Who's going to win two games? Are the Twins going to beat the Astros twice?
I don't think so.
The Indians going to beat the Yankees twice?
Now, look, that's, you know, I have to say, now I'll probably eat it and be wrong, because, you know, when you think you've got it all figured out and you're bragging about they'll never win a game, they're done, they've lost 17 in a row, they'll win tomorrow. But I don't think they're going to win, because, I mean, there is no team that sucks worse than them in postseason that I've ever seen. I've never seen anything like a team. I can't even describe what I'm watching. I don't even want to talk about them anymore. Let's talk about something else. Let me ask you about the Padres for a second. And not so much about Paddock going or anything like that. I want to ask you, when you see them letting Clevinger pitch, right, in the bullpen, and he's out there working and throwing all of his pitches, and then they were going to have meetings tonight, and tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. they have to either put him on the roster or whatever, or he's out, right? Like the Twins did, your boy, what's his name, the Donaldson. So here's the deal. If you were them and you sign this, you have this guy for another year, right? And this guy's an incredible pitcher. He really is. His ERA is like one something. Would you, are you serious that you're going to, like, did the guy not just have, like, they said he hurt his elbow, right? So are you really going to let that guy go pitch now? And seriously, you're going to let him, you're going to let him go pitch?
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
All right, so for all in a bench. All right, so Clevenger, they're going to make their mind up, which I think they're going to – I honestly believe, and I'll probably be wrong because I'm always wrong. I think they'll say tomorrow morning that they're not letting him pitch in the series and that they're going to sit him. And I think that if you ask me, that's the smart thing to do because I don't want to risk that guy's elbow for – let's say he blows out his elbow and he has Tommy John. He's done for – that's it. He's done. You know, he's not going to pitch for the Padres. Because they got him for a year, right? They got him for another year. So unless I'm wrong, like, why would you two more years? Okay, well, one year of it, he'd be in, you know, a cast because he's not going to pitch. When you have Tommy John, you don't pitch for a year. So he'd come back stronger than ever, not next year, the year after, right? And don't tell me he's going to be the same pitcher post Tommy John that he was before. He might be stronger, this and that. But when you're on an ERA high like that guy's been on, like he just doesn't allow runs. He's been incredible for his whole career, right? And then you're going to tell me he blows his arm out and then has Tommy John, let's say hypothetically, and then he's going to come back and just keep mowing him down. Everything changes, I think, when you have that surgery. You have to become a different pitcher. Would you agree with that, Carver High? And do you believe that it's a smart decision for them to – because he's like one day they're saying he hurt his elbow and he's you know – I mean, basically when he hurt his elbow, they said he's done. And that was it right for him. He's not pitching again. And then all of a sudden the playoffs start and he's out in the bullpen warming up. He's out there throwing every one of his pitches. He's fine. Are you trusting that nonsense and you're going to let him go? And risk it all? Because you know what will happen. If he blows it out, he's done for a year.
Of course. I would probably hold off at least this week. I know that we've talked a lot about how the Cardinals are very dangerous in these spots. But even without Clevenger, the Padres are a better team than the Cardinals. They just are. And their offense has been big this year. They can find a way to win this series without Clevenger. And if he really is getting better and you think a week from now, if you win this series and you're in the NLDS against the Dodgers, then if you want to try to throw him and you think he's improved enough, then I would. But rushing him, if he's not ready, now their medical people, obviously, they might say, hey, you know, he's good to go. And that's why they let it all hang out today. I would probably try to hold him off this week, Scotty, and get to next week without him.
Hope they don't use that guy the Chargers used to do rib cartilage injections.
Oh, jeez.
So do you think the Marlins have a shot against the Cubs tomorrow?
I'm looking at that as more like the entire series. I'm looking at it as, do the Marlins have a shot to win two out of three games against the Cubs, which means one of those games they're going to have to beat Darvish or Hendrick. You know, that's kind of Kyle Hendricks. So it's going to come down to that. I think that they're live. I think that they could do it. Like we were saying with Mish earlier, weird stuff happens when the Marlins are in the playoffs. and they don't get in there very often, but when they do, just strange stuff happens. They're not going to go on the kind of runs they've gone on in the past.
I don't drink beer very often, but when I do.
But when I do. I
drink those seconds.
I think that they could take 2 out of 3 off the Cubs these next few days, and I'm going to sprinkle it for the series. I already did. I put a couple bucks on the Marlins just because the price was too good, and I'm just going to root for them now the next few days.
So, wouldn't it be great if the Marlins beat the Cubs? Right. Wouldn't it be great if they actually did it again? Like the last time they did it to him, it was Bartman, and it was just craziness at Wrigley. I'll never forget when the Marlins beat him. I went nuts because I was living in Miami, and you know the story that I rode him all the way to the World Series. I got a picture in my house of me holding the World Series trophy because I worked with the Marlins that summer. When I was on QAM in Miami, can you imagine if they did it again to the Cubs? I mean, honestly,
it would be pretty funny, but I'd love to see it here.
The Cubs were loaded that year.
Oh yeah, absolutely. That was the Kerry Wood, Mark Pryor, Cubs. Everybody thought that there was going to be Cubs Yankees in the World Series. Remember that? That was the big thing. This is going to be the greatest World Series ever. And then the Marlins completely ruined the party. And won game 6 and 7 at Wrigley.
That was when Miggy was skinny and he was
a kid. He was a little kid. I'd love to see it. But they got to beat Hendricks tomorrow. It's going to be a hard task, but I think the Marlins, anybody has a shot 2 out of 3. The only team that has no chance, I believe, is the Brewers. They got no chance to beat the Dodgers 2 out of 3.
Have you ever seen anything like when Miggy was a kid and he was skinny as a rail and then fast forward 15 years and he's just a complete fat ass old man? Like, I mean, he looks like your uncle that just pounds beer and smokes cigarettes.
He's put in his time.
But it's amazing to see what time does and food and filthy rich does to a guy. I mean, honestly, because he had more money than God. So, you know, he just ate everything in sight. He didn't eat at McDonald's, believe me. He was going out for 5-star dinners and living large. And that's how you get to be a fat old man. That's just all there is to it. Because I remember when he was a toothpick and he was fast and he could rake and he was unbelievable. And he could always hit. But then he got so, you know, pretty much he started looking like Cecil Fielder at the end of his career. You can't even deny it, right? So, will the Reds and Trevor Bauer, it should be fun to watch him against the Braves tomorrow because he's so cocky. He's bound to do something in the game. I don't care what his cleats say either. You know, he's got a big mouth. He gets into it with other teams. He's got an attitude, the whole deal. He brings the whole repertoire out, and he's not liked by anybody. I don't even think his own teammates like him.
I think that the Reds can absolutely take this series 2 out of 3 from the Braves. But if they're going to, they have to win tomorrow in my eyes, because I don't trust Castillo and Sonny Gray to both win their games. I think that one or both of them would flounder. I think if the Reds are going to win this series, they need Bauer to beat Fried, because the Braves do not have a lot after Fried. They're going to really be piecing it together for games 2 and 3. The Braves need game 1 with their ace on the mound. And, it's on Bauer tomorrow to do it, you know, for the Reds and Fried for the Braves. I just think that Castillo and Gray, as good as they are, one of them or both of them will trip up in games 2 or 3.
What do you think? Freeman, Acuna, Albies, these guys, I don't even know, is Albies healthy? But what do you think their big guns will do against the Reds, like against Bauer tomorrow? Let's say just even Acuna and Freeman. Freeman was the player of the month in September. But that doesn't mean anything to me now that it's the playoffs, because Ramirez, I guess he had an RBI in the game tonight, so I'm not going to say he didn't really rake. But do you think Freeman will carry it in the hot bat into the playoffs against Bauer and do anything tomorrow? And Acuna just has been hitting these bomb home runs the whole time. Do you think those bats will be live, or will they be Memorex for this thing?
I think that we need to look at the Braves kind of like And this, it's not the same, but it kind of is. You know how the Lightning, we just talked about them getting swept by Columbus in the first round last year, and they had all these demons to exercise? Right. I feel like the Braves, how they lost that game 5 to the Cardinals last year, giving up the 10 runs in the first inning at home and just getting completely blasted. I feel like a lot of guys on this Brave team, you know, pretty much all of them, they got something to prove here, and they want to have a big postseason. Guys like Freeman, who you just mentioned, Acuna, they're going to come out in this series looking to get that chip off their shoulder of how they got embarrassed by the Cardinals in that game 5 at home. So I do think they will perform well offensively.
You know, I have to say, I have my doubts that because I think, you know, the Braves are another team that always goes and screws it up.
I agree completely. I totally agree.
They're notoriously flopping like salmon and not getting it done. And so I have my doubts about them at the very least. Look, I think Trevor Bauer's stuff is filthy. Now, Shane Bieber's stuff is filthy, but he got lit like a bong, like a 5-foot graphics tonight. So I'm going to say, you know, I'll see it and then I'll believe it. When I see Bauer do it, I'll believe it. Until then, it's all rhetoric to me, because you could be the greatest pitcher in the world, but you went out today, Bieber, and got just torqued. So who knows what Bauer will do tomorrow? He might give up a home run the first pitch of the game. So I did want to mention, I do want to talk some college football with you before we get out of here tonight. I'm sick of talking baseball every second of the show.
I know, and we haven't got to, you know, the last couple of weeks, because it's been so busy with the NBA and with the NHL and everything. I don't think we haven't really gotten to dive into college football a lot like we normally do, especially on the TV side on Coast to Coast. I feel like we've kind of just been waiting to finally push college football a little bit more into the forefront, which I think we're going to finally get to do these next few weeks.
Well, in 2 weeks when the NBA Finals are over, and it's going to take center stage, the NFL, college football, and then the, you know, obviously division LCS series and the World Series, it'll get better. Baseball will get better. You know, I think right now what it is a heap of games, a lot of games, and they're quick, right? These three-game wildcard series are quick. I mean, they're
– Yeah, you have teams going home tomorrow.
Yeah, some of them could be over tomorrow, so – I think those are quick. And then when they go 5 games in the division series, right, then it'll be a little more interesting. You got to win 3. Then when they go to 7, you got to win 4. And it's going to change everything. We're going to get into this more and more and more and more. But I think college football will take the place of the NBA when it's over. And we don't even know if the Lakers Heat will be good, because a lot of people think that it's just going to be a wipeout, that it's going to be another 4-1 for the Lakers. And we'll find out tomorrow night with game 1. They're laying 4.5. All right, for all on the bench. So one other guy I forgot to mention before I get into the college football is Marcell Ozuna for the Braves. He's really you know, lit it up and hit a lot of home runs. So between Acuna, Ozuna, Freeman, they definitely have, I think, a way better lineup than the Reds. Now, I know a lot of people are into the Reds, but watch the game tomorrow and see that no-name bunch of hacks they got in that lineup. And then they're, you know, obviously, I think they got there because of their pitching. But I'm not going to argue Votto's tough and whatever, but I don't have, they don't put the fear of God in anybody, that lineup of theirs. But the Braves have some guys that can seriously do some damage with the bats. So college football, there's a bunch of games, right, that I think are obviously decent this week. And, you know, I mean, just obviously the best games are A&M and Alabama and Auburn and Georgia, right? So, but, you know, Mississippi State is interesting now after what they did to LSU. They're playing Arkansas, and I thought that Costello, that was the most amazing performance that I think I've ever seen from a college quarterback. I sat and asked myself, what game have I seen better than that from a quarterback? Just in a game, like 623 yards by a college quarterback. I just don't ever remember seeing that before. And it was like he did it so effortlessly. He just zipped it all day. Like the guy, his arm was like a cannon all day. It was like, it was almost like watching Dan Marino for me. Would you argue with that, Carver Hyde? Like, I saw Dan Marino throw the football around that way, like in at Pitt and at Miami in the NFL, the way he could just throw the ball all day, 60, 70 times he could throw it. And right. I mean, nonstop, his arm was just as strong at the end as it was at the beginning. And it looked like that with Costello against LSU. I've never seen anything like it. And so I guess the question is, have you ever seen anything like it? Does he remind you at all of like a Dan Marino, the way he can sling it? And do you think they can kick Arkansas's ass?
Yeah, you know, you're right about how it seemed very effortless and you didn't even realize that it was going on. I mean, I'm watching the game. I was doing the in-game live with Smitty during the whole game. And at one point during the third quarter, you know, I was looking at the guy's numbers and I'm going, this dude's thrown for like 450 yards already. Like, and it does. It seemed like you said, every throw was very effortless and very easy, and just and they just kept racking it up. Incredible performance by him, and I do think that they will hammer Arkansas, because I think that this is going to be a big year for Leach and Mississippi State, Scotty, because these teams in this conference, they're not used to what Leach is bringing them right now. They're just not used. So I think the first time through the order here, the first time these teams have to play Leach, I think they're going to get a little bit of, like LSU was last week, a little shell-shocked on the defensive side with all of the air raid things that Leach is doing. So I think they're going to blow him out. Now, Arkansas played a good, what, two and a half quarters against Georgia last week before Georgia finally showed up and decided to play. I think that Mississippi State really hammers them on Saturday.
Georgia had to figure out how bad their quarterbacks were.
Right. That was Georgia's problem.
You know, they were looking for the weakest link to see which guy could actually not suck worse than the others. And then they eventually got the game under control and won it. We'll talk about them in a second. Let me say this about Mississippi State. You and I both know Mike Leach pretty well. And he's a friend of mine. He's been on the show a lot. He likes you guys a lot. He's cool. But this is no different than anything he ever did at Texas Tech or at Washington State.
I agree.
Is the same. This is the exact same thing. The difference is the talent level. He never had these kinds of players. And I don't even think Mississippi State gets the best football players that in the SEC at all. I think they get, you know, I'd be willing to say 50%, the best players aren't going there.
No, you know? they're probably the middle of the pack to low in the SEC.
That's right.
Middle to low.
So kind of the West, right? Like kind of the West. The schools that don't matter, they're one of them. And I'm sorry, they don't matter. They've never mattered. When has Mississippi State ever mattered? I mean, really mattered.
Very rare.
Playing in big, gigantic bowl games or in playoffs, never. How's that sound? So he goes there, but he's still getting better athletes than he ever got at Texas Tech or at Washington State. He won in both of those places with the exact same offensive philosophy and game plan of throwing the ball all over the field nonstop 70 times and just speed football, just spread option, spread it out, just absolutely slant, go crazy, throw the ball everywhere, all kinds of angles. Every pass in the book, everything that you can do in an offense, they do it. And I like that kind of football. I don't know anyone that doesn't. But I will say this. Now he's got some guys that are fast, that have talent, and that have speed that he's never had before. So it's amazing to me how good that philosophy looked with talent. So, because Mississippi State still gets better than anything at Texas Tech and way better than Washington State athletes. I mean, it's simple as that. If they had a 40-yard dash for the athletes that go to those schools, who do you think would win? Mississippi State would run right out of the football field. They'd run right out and take the trophy and all the girls with it. Okay, so they have faster, better athletes. And it shows when you see his offense with better athletes how good it can be. So I think that's scary. Now, you may be right about them adapting. The other schools in the SEC are going to be ready for Mike Leach at some point. Like, you know, Saban's not afraid of Mike Leach. In fact, he's probably licking his chops. But a guy like Lane Kiffin, who's trying to do the exact same thing at Ole Miss, they have the same type of players at Ole Miss that they have at Mississippi State, but they don't have Costello. Okay? So there you go. If they play them, which I don't know their schedule, but if they play them, you'll see what happens to them. They'll lose to them. They'll beat Ole Miss because they got Costello.
Yeah, they play him later in the year.
Okay, well, that guy's, if he's healthy, he's going to shred everyone that's average. And Ole Miss is still average. I was never worried about the Florida bet with Ole Miss last week when the game was closed for the first 15 minutes and everybody was talking about how pretty their uniforms were and everything else. You know what I was talking about? I was talking about how I was going to make some money on this game. I mean, I'm going to make some money on this game because Florida's going to beat their ass. And then they did. So, but I don't think Florida's afraid of Mississippi State. I don't think Alabama's afraid of them. And we haven't seen anything yet of Georgia. We're going to find out what Georgia's made of in JT Daniels this week against Auburn. Who do you like in that game? Because we already know Auburn's got Nix. I mean, they already got a quarterback and they already got a good team. And I, you know, it's not easy playing in Athens between the hedges. So that I will give you. I will give you that that is not an easy road trip to Sanford Stadium to go there and play them, right? But I was thoroughly unimpressed with Kirby Smart's football team last week, to say the least. So if JT Daniels comes in, steps into that role, and immediately starts playing like Costello did, leaving Stanford and playing at Mississippi State, then Georgia's got something. But the guy hasn't played in a year. So if he – I don't even remember the last time I saw JT Daniels play football. Do you remember? Like, honestly, they weren't using him at USC.
Nope, a while ago. Very long time ago.
It's been a long time. So let's see him just walk on the field and be kick ass in a real game situation against a good team. He's not playing in a scrimmage at USC. He's not playing in a scrimmage at Georgia. He's not at practice taking reps with the first team. They're playing high end, you know, monsters from Auburn chasing him around the football field. He'll be running for his life. So
yeah, this is a big time game on Saturday. Huge, right? Huge game. And I kind of like Auburn, Scotty. I'm with you. I think that Auburn can go in there and get it done. I was obviously more impressed with what Auburn did last week than what Georgia did, who really struggled with Arkansas, who's one of the lower teams in the SEC, let's be fair. And they struggled for a long time. And I'm with you. Putting the kid JT in there, if he plays, that's a lot of rust. Like you said, he has not played a real game situation with these guys. And Auburn going in there, that's a very tough task. I think Auburn wins the game outright on Saturday.
So when you saw how bad LSU looked after all the migration to the NFL of their entire roster, and then the guy bragged Orgeron about how he's got the greatest recruiting class he's ever seen, and they're
we back. We ain't going nowhere. We're good.
Yeah. You want to play some football down here in the Bayou? We're not interested in COVID. We want to play some ball. Well, they played some ball, all right. They got run into the ground. I mean, I've never seen in my life LSU get humiliated like that ever in a football game ever. At their lowest point, rock bottom, I've never seen them ever play that bad because they got their ass kicked. So do they go to Vandy and beat Vandy's ass, or are they about on the same level now as Missouri and Arkansas and all the rest of them? Because they look to me like just a bunch of freshmen running around, have no idea what they're doing.
I don't think that they're at the level of those other teams. I'm not going to put them there. In fact, I think that this is going to be a really, really bad spot for Vandy, who just played. You know, Vandy really gave it their all against Texas A&M last week. Was in the game for most of the night. Now this is going to be a rough spot for them. I think LSU is going to take out some of the bad feelings that they had. I think they're going to take down
Brennan. I thought Brennan was terrible.
He wasn't good. And he wasn't good in spots. He had a couple of good throws, but he obviously wasn't as good as Costello, who's so much better than him. I think that they go to Vandy this week and they get right. I think that they cover the 20. I think that they hammer Vandy this week.
How about Memphis? They're 1-0. They're favored by a field goal at SMU, and the Tigers are already 3-0. And they've been scoring in buckets. You think SMU knocks off Memphis down in Dallas?
Yeah, I've been playing SMU the last couple of weeks. They score, and not only do they score fast. I mean, you talk about light speed. They are moving the football down the field. I like SMU at home. I know Memphis, better team, better roster probably, but you're going to give me a couple points at home with SMU with the way that they score points. I'm going to take it, maybe even outright with SMU on Saturday.
What about A&M and Alabama? Mac Jones carries the tide to the Big Win. They got backdoored by Missouri.
Yeah.
And Missouri's just, you know, it's like a high school team. So I'm not impressed with Missouri ever at any length. So, but they're playing Tennessee. But you know, A&M and Alabama. A&M, they don't have Johnny Football. Do they have a chance to go to Tuscaloosa and be in that game? They're not getting any respect. They're getting 17.
I'm going to take the 17.5 with Texas A&M. I think that this will be a somewhat close game. Maybe at the end, A&M might need a little backdoor action, but I think that they're not going to get blown out by Alabama. I think they're going to be in the mix. I think that they'll score a little bit. And 17.5 is a ton. I think that they'll be able to stay within that range.
Does Florida cover 17.5 against South Carolina in the Swamp?
Yes, 100%. I love this Florida team. I think that they'll rack them.
And Pitt is playing NC State. They're laying 14 at Heinz Field against the Wolfpack, who got humiliated last week. Does Pitt go to 4-0?
I think that they do. You were mentioning it on Monday when we did the top 25, how Pitt has played very well, undefeated here. And NC State, I mean, honestly, to get whacked the way that they did against Virginia Tech, who was missing, we mentioned it, what was it, 22, 23 guys they didn't have, including the quarterback.
Right.
I think they're in trouble when they go to Pitt here this week.
Wow. Listen to Carver High getting involved. All right. We'll try to catch up with Morenci. Sports Rage coming up after Pharrell on a Bench. We'll catch up with our boy Gabe next. All right, Pharrell on a Bench. Sports Rage is up next with Morenci. Gabe, couple thoughts on the Jays' performance and if they'll survive tomorrow. And what did you think of the other games, in particular, what the Yankees did to Bieber?
You know what? Wow. As far as the Yankees, that's the juggernaut and the onslaught of the Yankees offense. And, you know, history just repeats itself, doesn't it, with these teams, Minnesota, the Clevelands of the world. And I always talk myself into it, Scotty. Well, they're an underdog. This year's different. They match up well with the Yankees. And they never do. I know you and Carver talked about it. As far as the Jays are concerned, listen, man, Snell was nasty, bro. Yeah, you know, he was nasty. And the Jays in their first playoff game, a lot of young bats. They settled down later in the game. And you saw they had numerous opportunities. They had a lot of bad baseball luck, sort of like a hockey team hit in the post, Scotty. The Blue Jays were lining the ball. And it was just always right at somebody. You know, I like the fact that they didn't quit late. They have their best pitcher on the hill tomorrow. I think the Jays are still alive. Although, yeah, listen, Tampa, just like the Lightning, bro, I think the Tampa Bay Rays, like, could go to the World Series. Oakland is the team I'm interested in tomorrow. The White Sox now 15-0 against Southpaws as well. Bassett's not a Southpaw. I expect Oakland to win tomorrow, Scotty.
Wow. Do you think Carver High mentioned on our show today, and tonight we talked about it, he doesn't think hockey will come back till like March with all the problems with the border and with the fact that they don't let fans in arenas. When do you think they'll play hockey again?
That, you know what, if I had to guess, I'd probably say late January, February-ish. You know, we don't know, right? But I think right now you'd have to be pretty stupid or naive or just blissfully ignorant to say that, well, everything's going to be fine in a couple of months. It's not. I think we're going into, you know, flu season, the colder weather. There's a reason why Adam Silver's not playing on Christmas, Scotty.
Yeah, that sucks. I won 5 NBA games on Christmas, or Christmas sucks. All right, Morenci's next. Have a good night. I'll see you tomorrow at 4 on Coast to Coast. Good night, everybody.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Upgrade your tool storage for the new year with help from Menards. For heavy-duty storage that protects your tools, choose MasterForce. From shelving units to cabinets and so much more, you can keep your tools safe and within reach. Get versatile and durable storage from MasterForce today. Check out all our MasterForce storage in-store or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.